flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Jaden Daniels is a different animal. 299 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. They ran the ball effectively 42 times, like 182 yards.
Yes.
But this brother is just special. Whatever throws he needed to make, he made. Whatever runs he needed to make, he made. And not only that, you look at the team, and what do y'all tell me all the time? When you got an elite quarterback, you got a chance. The Washington Commanders are like, we got a chance. Right now, with Patrick Mahomes, with Jalen Hurts, with Josh Allen, and Jaden Daniels, we know who the best is. That's the three-time Super Bowl champion. But then none of them are playing better than Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Right now, the way Jaden Daniels is playing for the Washington Commanders, this ain't going to be Philly defense, ain't Detroit's defense.
All right.
But they could do it.
Molly Kierum trying to rein in Stephen A. there. Hour 2, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We'll get you our winners and losers from the divisional round. Stephen A. feeling strongly about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, their chances of getting this done. They beat Philly just a few weeks ago. They've won 7 in a row, I think it is.
Dude,
off the top of my
Baker
head.
Baker Mayfield.
Well, that's true.
That was kind of the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl.
The Tampa Bay, Washington? The bowl before the bowl is what that was.
Two of the great quarterbacks of our era.
But look, they split with Philly this year. Yeah. So I'm not going to pick them, but I don't think it's crazy to say that Washington could get there. I don't see them beating Buffalo or Kansas City. But you can weigh in on that if you'd like. All your divisional round thoughts. We did a ton of it yesterday. I know a lot of people were off from work and or home because of the snow yesterday. So you can jump in on that, 617-779-7937. We'll give you the Boston Pizza Party rankings coming up.
This is important.
Red Sox, Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, WEEI. There's nothing a pizza party can't fix.
No.
We're going to solve some issues coming up here. Call it 25 minutes from
now. Speaking of which,
yeah,
maybe we do a live show pizza party to really solve everything once and for all.
Got it.
Because we're on during lunch, most people's lunch, whether you start early or late, we're on during lunch. So if a pizza place hosted us, and then we invited everybody from the station if they wanted to swing by.
Oh, you're soliciting a pizza establishment.
I think it's a win-win. It's a win for them, it's a win for us.
To have us in. Well, it's definitely a win for us. We're eating free pizza.
Just eating pizza.
But, yeah, it's a win for them.
Yeah, and soda.
You can rub elbows with Jones.
And Keith.
Greg.
Maybe we'll force Laney to come.
Courtney.
Yeah.
Ted Johnson, perhaps. I mean, I don't want to sign everybody up for that. Ken Laird.
Yep. Well, then here's the real problem. That people don't show up, and then now you have a bigger beef. Everyone's invited. Only half the people show up.
Yeah,
now
with all that pizza. Yeah, Morgan's really mad.
Well, that's a good point, though. Who is really mad if we're just sitting on stacks and stacks of pizza? The pizza establishment might be.
They might be like, what the hell, guys?
Okay. We're soliciting.
Yeah.
Pizza places, for sure, to host said WEEI pizza party.
I love it.
Where will that stack up compared to the Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots? We'll find out ourselves. We get to the bottom of things. We solve issues here on Jones and Keefe. We'll do that coming up. You can also jump in on who you'd rather be, the Bears with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, or the Patriots with Mike Vrabel and Drake May. I'm going with the Pats. Keith's going with the Bears. You can get in there. We talk Celtics and Bruins as well. Let's give you our winners and losers from the divisional round.
Yes,
Keith, you want to start with this?
So obvious, we want to go winners or losers first.
Why don't you do winners first? I'll do losers first. Let's do it
brand.
That way. Yeah. You give me your three winners. I'll give you my three. Then we'll go through.
All right, my three winners, real quick, would be Josh Allen, the idea of starting a rookie quarterback right away, and Saquon Barkley. I think it's some order.
The idea of starting a
just that in general.
I see what you're saying. Got it.
That's a winner. Yes. That's a winner this go around because last September, it was a big time debate. Sit a guy. Huh, did you know, Keith, that Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady didn't start their first years? And look at them. Okay, great. doesn't mean if you start one, you break one. In fact, you start one right away, you might make the playoffs after being a 4-win team, and you might make the NFC Championship game if you start a rookie quarterback. Another team started a rookie quarterback that made the playoffs after missing the year before in Denver. And so, not that Drake May and the Patriots would have made the playoffs this year, but there was really no reason to not start in week one. And I think the season that Jaden Daniels has had has only more confirmed the fact that, yeah, you can do that, especially if the guy is that good. Play him right away. So just that idea in general. Josh Allen. Now, even though Josh Allen didn't light up the scoreboard, tossing it all around, two big touchdown runs, and just another opportunity to get back to a game against Patrick Mahomes with another chance to beat him in the playoffs. Because what was interesting is, you know, this whole idea we hit on a little bit yesterday, Brady versus Manning, and how now it's Mahomes versus Allen. But you could make a case based on awards and regular season stuff, it really should be Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson. And if Lamar Jackson had beaten Allen this weekend, it'd be more conference championships as well as more MVPs for Lamar than for Josh Allen. This was a swing in that regard. They'd both been in the
conference championship game appearances.
Appearances. Yeah. So they'd both been in the AFC title game once. And so Josh Allen gets this win at home, needed to do it, but he was a win there. And then Saquon Barkley, like, just continuing the crazy season that he has had, not just a, 2,000 yards in the regular season, but what are you going to do in the playoffs? Like, no, he was the reason why they won that game, but it ended up being a really close game with the Rams. So those, to me, are the three big winners.
So we had a lot of overlap on ours. Mm-hmm. I had Jaden Daniels, which is similar to your rookie QB, and I had him number one, biggest winner of the weekend. He's a rookie quarterback in the NFC title game. The Commanders were terrible a year ago. He single-handedly turned them around. Saquon Barkley, self-evident, goes to the Eagles, runs for 200-plus yards. They're in the NFC title game. I'm with you on that one. My other winner is Kelsey. Kelsey come the postseason is...
Taylor Swift was there.
Taylor Swift, Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
You know, her fan base has a type. When it comes to Travis Kelsey, in these games, he can coast the whole year. They can manage him all year long. But one thing that does remind me of the Patriots when it comes to the Chiefs is their players step up in big moments, and guys who look past their prime or guys who are managed during the regular season so they can have big games in the postseason, that's something the Patriots would do. That's something the Chiefs are doing with Kelsey. I'd expect him to look like he did a year ago in the postseason when people thought he was washed going into the playoffs. I'd have Travis Kelsey on my winners list. So there you go. Those are some winners from the divisional round. My specialty, the losers.
Yes.
Let's give you that. Mark Andrews, I'm sure we're going to agree on. I think that's an obvious one. Jared Goff may have played his way out of quarterback for the Detroit Lions, so I'd have Jared Goff on the list. And then my most controversial one, he's in his seventh straight AFC title game, Mahomes.
Good one.
Like, Mahomes flopping around to me was so...
Such a loser play.
So pathetic and such a loser play. And I have less of a gripe. We talked about this all day long yesterday. I have less of a gripe about the officials missing a bang-bang play. Aikman was all fired up about the two Texans clunking heads on Mahomes. There was a questionable one earlier with Will Anderson, and those are all questionable flags, and the Chiefs get a great whistle and the benefit of the doubt, and I think they are like the Patriots. I heard Chris Curtis this morning saying they changed the rules on the Patriots. This is the Chiefs getting the calls. It's a fair point. I still think, on balance, the Patriots got a lot of favorable calls. Tuck rule. And things like that, even if that was the right way to officiate it, they got a good whistle and the benefit of, you know, positive calls. I think the Chiefs are the same way. Where I get off board with the way it's being officiated is Mahomes trying to draw flags out of the officials, the embellishment, the flopping. That was a loser look for Patrick Mahomes despite the win, so I had him on my loser
list. Good one. No, I considered him. That's definitely a good one. I mean, Mark Andrews jumps out to me because it is a specific play that is going to live on forever. Like, when they show, you know, highlight videos of all the great plays, like, there's certain ones that you remember, like Julian Edelman's catch and Malcolm Butler's pick and everything else. And then there's the opposite videos, like Scott Norwood's miss and Mark Andrews' drop 2-point conversion. Not also, you know, to forget the fact that he had a huge fumble in the game. So, like, as a Ravens fan, you got to be just so incensed with Mark Andrews. But just that one play, 2-yard pass, and you drop it, and who knows, you might not even win the game, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's still stuck on you. So now Mark Andrews, really for the rest of his career, he's going to have to carry that with him. So that is brutal. Like, that, he's a big individual loser from the weekend.
I mean, there's a chance they just turn it over to Likely. likely might be the better player these days.
Yeah, he had a down year anyway. Andrews did.
Yes.
And likely had the big touchdown and the whole thing. So, yeah, likely was probably better.
I wouldn't, like, wager on that, but there's a chance they just say, we're just going to Isaiah Likely. He's younger, and he might be better.
Dan Campbell, to me, a big loser. And I know, you know, he was very emotional in the post-game press conference. He's an easy guy to root for and all of that, but it was an unbelievable regular season. And you get the bye, and then you lose your first game where you're big favorites, you're at home against a team that we kind of thought was just happy to be there, and you lose that. That's why my other loser is just sort of even more in general is the Detroit Lions franchise. Tom Brady was talking a lot about this before the game. About how,
wait, so you have Campbell and the Lions on your list?
Yeah, two separate ones. Yeah, I think Campbell himself, it's like, oh man. But I think the Lions overall and the whole franchise, because Tom Brady was mentioning this before the game even started about how each season is its own thing. And so, yeah, the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, but, like, they're really going to win it for this year. And he's like, the Commanders, I think he mentioned the Commanders, but it certainly applies to the Lions. He's like, the Commanders had a massive turnaround, sort of a dream season, but you can't just assume next year you're going to win 10, 11, 12 games next year because you won 10 this year. Whereas I think Detroit is in for a rude awakening. You'd mentioned Jared Goff, how you got to the conference championship game last year. You looked like you were better in the regular season, but got bounced in the divisional round this year, and you're about to lose both your coordinators, as well as we'll see how many of the guys on their roster they can keep, too. They might move a few guys on from that. So they're still very, very talented, but they got their work cut out for them, and you don't know how many chances you're going to get. Home game against the rookie quarterback, you're thinking you're going to win that game and probably be the favorite in the NFC title game as well.
Yeah.
And you cough that up. So what a disaster for Detroit.
Okay, so those are our winners and losers from the divisional round. Any disagreement, feel free to weigh in, 617-779-7937. Or you want to tell us how accurate our lists are. Just say, hey, guys.
Spot on.
Put her there. You knocked it out of the
Killed
park.
It. I'll hang up and listen.
We'd love to hear that as well, again, on the phones. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. One text before we hit the phones. Same number as the phone number, 617-779-7937. Jared Goff out as Detroit quarterback because they lost last week is one of the silliest things I've ever heard Jones say. But it's not just because they lost last week.
Hmm.
They lost in the NFC title game the year prior. Mm-hmm. They won 15 games this year, and they were out in the divisional round a year earlier, despite winning 15 games and being arguably the most talented overall team in football, best overall team in football,
right,
coming into the postseason. So it's not just about one game. It's about coming up short again with Jared Goff, with all the talent they have. Never mind what you've been talking about now for weeks and weeks, Keith. How are the Lions going to look with different coordinators? Can somebody other than Ben Johnson get this much out of Jared Goff? If I'm the Lions, this might be your chance to do what the Rams did in reverse order. Ironically, as you said. But yeah,
Tracy's back.
Like if they could
classic.
If they could trade back for Matthew Stafford. Yeah. And get him on the team, or if they can find that equivalent, who is that? Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins. We went through a bunch of names yesterday. It's not just about losing one game. It's about can you win with Jared Goff? This is their championship window to win.
Yeah.
And can they do it? And Goff, let's face it, got exposed. That was ugly. And that's not like, you know, the 86 Bears out there that you were going against.
No, not at all. Yeah, no, that was bad. And I still just go back to how
85 Bears.
The 86 Super Bowl Bears.
85 Bears.
The 85 season Bears.
Didn't sound right coming up.
No, the 86 Super Bowl is when they really just laid the thunder on the Pats. But, you know, the next offensive coordinator for the Lions is going to be huge. Maybe that guy is really good. Maybe they just promote from within and he's awesome. Or maybe they really miss Ben Johnson. Maybe Jared Goff really misses him. So not only did he have a bad game with him at the end, but how's that next year without him going to go?
It's interesting, and it's something worth following. And, yeah, Jared Goff, whether you think they should move on or not, loser of the weekend, Detroit, big loser this weekend. Jaden Daniels spearheading our winners, along with rookie quarterbacks in general. Mm-hmm. You can jump in here. Johnny in Brooklyn's been waiting patiently on our Celtics conversation. Go ahead, Johnny.
Jones, Keith, thanks for taking my call. Sure. You nailed it with the winners and losers. And, man, we need a lot of pizza parties in this town. Although I just want to say, EEI, I love the decision to have you guys in the 10-2 and now Arcand in the 6-10. So I think EEI needs the pizza party the least of all of them because they're making some great decisions here.
Oh, okay, early votes for the pizza party.
How about that?
I like
put
that.
Us towards the bottom.
That's true. Arcand starts.
Don't need one.
Arcand starts tonight at 6. WEEI Afternoons unveiled today with Hart and Fitzy and Ted Johnson. What is Fitzy calling?
Oh,
it?
He's got a great line in there. What is it? The wisecracker.
Yeah, the sports yacker
and the
wisecracker and the linebacker.
Pretty great. Hard to say several times in a row, but I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, I
like a rhyme.
I remember 2/3 of it.
Yeah.
Between us, we remembered the full
thing.
I think
that was in the Dr. Seuss book I read CeCe last night.
So that's today at 2 here on WEEI. New lineup unveiled after MLK Day yesterday. Let's go to our buddy Coach up in New Hampshire. Coach, hello.
Coach, come on.
Coach wants to discuss Cliff Kingsbury's availability. I know you're high
on Cliff Kingsbury. I can't imagine he's available, though. Or for a lateral move.
Correct.
I think Cliff Kingsbury, you know, would take head coaching interviews because he is the play caller. It's not like he's the offensive coordinator in name only. And I could see he might be a prime candidate, but if he doesn't become a head coach somewhere, he just stays with Dan Quinn. Year two, Jaden Daniels, worst places to be. You know, just because you have one successful season doesn't mean you need to move. Ben Johnson was a top five offense for 3 straight years before he moved. So Kingsbury might stay in Washington for, you know, a couple of years and then get a job. You know, I don't think he's going anywhere. Or, I'm sorry, he's certainly not coming here.
No, you're right. Why would he take a lateral move here to be a play caller here when he already has a good thing going in Washington? So that doesn't make sense. Maybe Coach was going to make a case for him as the head coach instead of Vrabel. That ship has already sailed. So learning from Washington and what they did, I do think is important, though. And if we're going to talk about everything Washington did, a new owner, for God's sakes, new GM, new front office, new head coach, new play caller, new quarterback, new roster. The one thing they did not do, Keith, is go out and, you know, spend on a big ticket free agent wide receiver. They already have McLaurin, which is better than anything you had. But they didn't go out and do that. They didn't really go out and splurge in a big way on the offensive line. They signed offensive linemen, but it wasn't like they went out and what some Patriots fans want to see them do, what I've advocated for, sign Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle from the Ravens. He's had some injury issues, mm-hmm. but the guy's a stud. They didn't do anything like that. I mean, they really did spackle their roster together with quality veterans. I mean, that's really what they did. That's not what I want the Patriots to do, but if we're talking about the Commanders did it a certain way and you need to follow suit and we should be jealous of what Washington did and how they built it and you should copy as much as you can from them, it's not like they were out spending on big, splashy free agents.
You see, last March there was a guy on Twitter. I don't know if he like is a blogger or what, but he had a tweet anyway that is making the rounds now.
No.
And he wrote, Commanders having one of the worst off seasons I can recall from a new regime.
Oh, no.
Zach Ertz, Austin Ekeler, and Bobby Wagner as marquee signings. Retread head coach Dan Quinn, who was far from first choice, and ass backwards Kingsbury as OC. Cherry on top will be if they pass on May for Daniels. Like, legit, everything that they did in reverse, and this guy was just calling him out. So, again, I don't even know if that's a guy, but people found that tweet and it was making the rounds as they made the playoffs and in the playoffs.
Did you think their plan was going to work in real time? I definitely didn't.
No, yeah. I didn't really have a problem with them taking Daniels over May because we sliced that up 20 different ways. I was like, fine, that's if you like him, fine.
I preferred May, but I liked both. So that wasn't crazy. But the rest of it, I didn't like any of that.
No, if you said Ertz, Ekeler, Wagner, Quinn, I did like Kingsbury. But still, that's 7 moves.
I didn't even like that. Yeah.
So I liked 2 of them and 5 of them I laughed at. I'm right there with you. I was like, what's Ekeler and Ertz and Wagner going to do? And then Dan Quinn, I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously losing a Super Bowl when you have a 28-3 lead is going to kind of stick with you. But also you're in the Super Bowl. But you are in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But you took the Atlanta Falcons to the Super Bowl. Like, that's not nothing. But I certainly didn't give Dan Quinn a lot of credit. I don't think he's one of those guys that most people look at and you're like, yeah, that's a head coach I want.
I also can't imagine he was their first choice. Like I followed their coaching search very closely, but I can't imagine that was the guy they had at the top of the heap.
No, that's true.
I think they probably stumbled into it, and fine. I mean, there's something to be said for that. But if we're going to take a page out of Washington's playbook and how they built it and what they did, and we talked a lot about this yesterday, they nailed it with the personnel guy, Adam Peters. I don't know if they nailed it with the head coach, Dan Quinn, but certainly that's working out.
Yeah.
Kingsbury was a home run. Jaden Daniels, home run of a pick. Spackling together the roster, like all that worked out. And so if you're going to look at it, Washington, they went with a quantity over quality approach, if you will, where almost like the 2001 Patriots to a degree, we're going to sign 20 middle tier free agents and we're going to fill out our roster because it's such a barren desert in terms of talent.
Yeah, but I also think
we're going to fill it out. I would aim higher. That is not how I would build it. But if I'm being fair, that is what Washington did.
Yeah.
And I've been saying out the other end of my mouth, I want to copy what Washington did.
I think the veterans that they signed were, I know I overlooked that in the offseason. I think the Patriots, what a miss on their part. Not that those guys all would have signed here necessarily, but how important. So you have a rookie head coach. You have like rookie coaches everywhere. And not to relive last year, we're trying to all move on. But you didn't really have a lot of veterans to begin with or leadership guys. And the ones that you did got hurt. Like when David Andrews went down, like that was all of your stuff. So you have no leadership at all. And, you know, they're almost fortunate to get four wins. Like the team could have been even worse, actually. Because those guys, I think, helped keep it together because you're leaning on a rookie quarterback. But that rookie quarterback, unlike Drake May, he's looking around a room, established head coach, established offensive coordinator, veteran tight end, veteran running back, you know, veteran middle linebacker who's probably the best leader in the NFL in Bobby Wagner. So, I mean, Daniels was really set up to succeed, I guess, more so than we had thought. Because we were, I was looking at the Bears and be like, oh, look at their receivers. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be great. We knew Drake May was going to be up against it. Jaden Daniels was really in a pretty good spot, turns out.
617-779-7937. We gave you our winners and losers from the divisional round. We've been comparing and contrasting the Bears' job, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, with the Patriots, Mike Vrabel and Drake May. Plus, we've given you thoughts on the Celtics and the Bruins as well. We can mix in some on the Red Sox because we're problem solvers here on Jones and Keith.
That's what we do.
We don't just talk about problems, point them out, highlight them, underscore them.
We cause them. No.
Well, in some cases we do. Yeah. But we also solve said problems. And Rich Keefe has famously said, a pizza party can fix anything.
That's right.
What problem can a pizza party not solve?
It's good for what ails you.
It is.
Yeah.
And so we're going to rank in order who needs a pizza party the most. The Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, the Bruins, and this radio station, WEEI. Mm-hmm. There's been some friction between Keith and Courtney, if you're unaware. So we'll do that. Boston Pizza Party Rankings right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Bruins and Celtics got back in the win column yesterday. The Bees ended the third period down 3-2 to the Sharks. Charlie Coyle would score twice, and Brad Marchand and Elias Lindholm would each add in an empty net goal to give the Bruins the 6-3 win at the Garden. The Bees return to the ice tomorrow night in New Jersey to play the Devils. The Seas dominated the Warriors 125-85 at the Chase Center yesterday. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 22 points and 9 rebounds. The Celtics road trip continues tomorrow night when the Seas will be in Los Angeles to play the Clippers. Ohio State won their 9th college football national championship after last night's 34-23 win over Notre Dame. And the NFL's conference championship matchups are this Sunday. The Eagles host the Commanders. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock, followed by the Bills versus the Chiefs in Kansas City. Kickoff from Arrowhead Stadium is at 6:30. You can hear Westwood One's call of conference championship Sunday right here on 93.7. Coverage will begin at 2 o'clock. Being more healthy, eating better, losing weight, are you accomplishing your New Year's goals? It's 10 times easier with help. Do what Andy Hart, Rob Bradford, Chris Scheim, and over 23,000 others have done. Find your results at awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Have you guys thought about that at all? Maybe a pizza party?
I have not. Well, we actually have thought of that.
So that was Danny Ainge calling in TEI talking to you, Dale, and Michael?
It was either me, Dale, and Michael, or just me and Dale. I forget which version of it, but he was calling in. It was at one of those times where this is years ago when the Celtics had a ton of talent, but they just weren't playing very well.
So the Kyrie years in there?
It might have been a Kyrie year, and like the chemistry wasn't very good. And so I brought it up to then president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. Had they considered a pizza party? To which he said, yes, we have considered it.
He kind of gave you a yes-no,
like,
didn't
actually,
he?
Yeah. He's like, he's probably thinking, like, oh, here's Keith with a dumb question. But no, wait a minute, yeah.
I have thought of that.
I have thought about that.
We think of everything over here, and we have considered
And that. Obviously that didn't work with Kyrie and Hayward and Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier and all those guys, but...
Only one basketball on that team. Not enough shots to go around.
Every single guy on that team thought they should score 20 points a game.
So why don't you just illustrate again your stance on the pizza party for those that are unfamiliar why we're even doing a Boston pizza party ranking.
It's a great team builder. If chemistry is a little out of whack, this could be in your personal lives with friends. This could be coworkers, whatever it might be. If things are a little on edge, a pizza party can fix everything. Just take yourself back to when you were a 12-year-old and you had paper plates, pizza, red Solo cups filled with 2-liter soda. You know, you got the Coke, Mountain Dew, Diet, whatever, all that stuff all up there for grabs. Jolt.
Can't be handing out Jolt at a birthday party.
No. Remember the short-lived Surge?
Yeah. Do I remember Surge?
I was on that for a while.
Yeah.
I was a different man. I was not right. I was probably freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Locked in on Surge.
It was like the Celsius of its day.
I remember even my friends being like, this was early on. This is before I was even drinking.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you got to cool it with the Surge. They're dude, you are.
It was like a 12-year-old intervention.
Yeah.
They're like, hey,
in middle school, my friends were like, you got to, like, maybe.
I think you're hooked on that Surge.
They're like, maybe just one Mountain Dew for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, dude, I need it. I need it to live. So I had a problem with that. But they stopped making Surge, I think, because of kids like me.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It was a delicious drink.
Yeah.
Remember?
I liked Surge. I don't really... It was kind of Sprite-ish, right?
It was like Mountain Dew. It was
like a Mountain Dew or a Sprite.
Yeah, it wasn't a dark soda.
No.
Like
it wasn't a cola.
Jolt.
No,
it wasn't a cola.
No.
It was something like more citrusy, I think. But anyway, they do need to bring that back because that was a wild ride. But I think it can fix a lot of things. Nobody's upset at a pizza party. You know, maybe if you walk into the party, you're not feeling great, but then you're like, I got a slice in my hand. There's boxes of pizza over there. It's almost unlimited pizza. It feels like it's unlimited pizza.
Well, I could see there being some friction there if all of a sudden you're fighting over the last slice of pepperoni or something like that.
But in general,
I agree with your stance.
That'd be a rookie mistake.
Pizza party's going
to
solve it.
You need to overbuy because you need to overbuy the pizza. You want to make sure that nobody is worried about taking the last piece or getting in fights over that.
Right.
But it's a good way to sort of like...
And who's in charge of the leftovers, not to foreshadow anything.
Well, let's not ruin this for everybody. I think it's just a good way to sort of get everybody back on the same page. So I think it's important to... look at all the teams in town right now. All of them are going through something a little bit different right now. You know, two of them are currently playing. One just wrapped up. Another one's going to get started in a couple of months. Throw us into the mix as well.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, well, I'd say we could use
and
one.
Let's rank these things 1 through 5. Number one would be the team or radio station most in need. Oh, no, we're a team.
Yeah, so we're a team.
Yeah, we're a team.
Yeah.
So the team most in need of a pizza party. Fifth is like the team that's probably... Good. Probably like in not in need of a pizza party.
Yeah, so let's start with what I would imagine. We don't need much of an intervention. We can work our way up.
Okay.
I'd imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong here.
Go ahead.
The Patriots are not in need of a pizza party these days.
No.
Jerod Mayo's gone.
Yes.
Mike Vrabel's here. People are on board. We largely feel good about Drake May. Little bit of flack about him not showing up at Vrabel's press conference. And then, whoopsie, turned out he's getting engaged.
Congratulations, by the way.
Congratulations to Drake. Very questionable life decision at 22 to get married, but whatever. Neither here nor there.
He's a true love. There's no age for true love.
Neither here nor there. I would say the Patriots in general, they don't feel like they're very much in need of a pizza party, Keith.
No, in fact, if they kept Mayo and everybody else, they might be in jeopardy of putting the pizza party challenge to the test. Like, that might not have worked on them. They might have been so far off, right? You had all these guys popping off, players saying they needed to be changes and everything else. No, I think just Mike Vrabel showing up, okay. Like, that sort of changes things. The roster is going to kind of get settled. So, yeah, they're probably, they're a bad team, but it's not, right now, it's not like a real chemistry issue. It's a talent issue.
I think the vibes are in an okay place.
Yeah. I think they're looking up.
Hopefully you're going to be subtracting the Jelani Tavai's of the world.
Yeah, it's
off the roster. Yeah. Pack your stuff. and you're not even invited to the pizza party.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd say general, those are good vibes.
Yeah, they might be at the bottom. I don't know if they're really not in
need
of it.
Well, here to me is the other challenger to them, and you tell me who needs a pizza party more out of these two, the Patriots or the Red Sox.
Well, here comes a pizza, see it?
Yeah, the Red Sox, probably. I mean, because they're making some moves. And if you're just looking at the roster themselves, I think these guys all get along. There's not really a lot of finger pointing going on there with the team. You know, last year, they might have been in more of need of a pizza party with guys like Kenley Jansen. Turns out, bad teammate. Like, by the end of the year, that was kind of a rough one. But he's gone. Mm-hmm. He's one of the bigger personalities on the team. He's gone. So, yeah, I think they're probably in a decent spot. Better than the Patriots, you think? Or
I think the Patriots need a pizza party less.
Oh, than the Red Sox.
I think the Reds, you can still invite
some pizza.
You can invite John Henry and Tom Werner downstairs and, you know, have a full organizational pizza party. I don't know what kind of pizza John Henry eats.
Doesn't.
I don't know if he needs it chewed for him. I don't quite know how that would go.
That's possible.
He can just kind of stand there and sip on Surge or Jolt or whatever he's doing.
Imagine him on Jolt.
But like an organizational pizza party? Yeah. Do you agree the Red Sox need one more than the Patriots, or you would make a case with bats?
No, I think they probably don't right now. And also, it's tough because neither of these teams are in season. The Patriots just made the major change that they needed to make. The Red Sox have improved the team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's some trade talk stuff, but I don't know if Tristan Casas, he probably also wouldn't eat pizza.
No, that's a good point.
Too normal of a food, that's so it might not even help him.
No, he would eat something. I saw people talking about, like, cauliflower pizza and stuff like that. See, that's what
yeah,
he would
maybe.
Eat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pizza's
yeah.
special because it's the only thing that tastes like pizza. It's bread, sauce, meat, cheese. What isn't that we eat?
Okay, right. This next team might take the cake. Where are the Bruins on the pizza party scale?
I think still really high.
I think, lovely cheese pizza, just for me.
I know they're all best buds, and you can go to Instagram to find out just how best buds they are.
Uh-huh.
And they just beat the Sharks yesterday. So they are coming off
good
of
vibes.
A win.
Good, strong
but
vibes.
But they're coughing up points still. They're still coughing up points. Their captain was just benched in an overtime and shootout. And was just kind of like left at that. And then we're kind of moving on. I know people are like, see, the team said they're fine, so they're obviously fine.
Nothing to see here.
I don't feel like they're fine. I didn't think this was going to be a team that was going to have to fight and claw and possibly miss the playoffs. Like, right now, based on point percentage, they wouldn't be in the playoffs.
Correct.
Which is wild. The Bruins always make the playoffs. The question is, are they going to advance this year? Are they going to rip our hearts out and lose in the first round again and things like that? So, I would think that they are a prime candidate to be the number one.
Okay.
Peace and quiet.
I would tell you that there's a few other organizations, teams, that are in the mix for the top spot, but the Bruins are right there. It's been illustrated by Pastrnak v. Marchand, even the captain getting benched, never mind getting their coach fired earlier this year.
Good point.
I would say the Bruins are up there.
Yeah, they did get a coach fired.
Where are the Celtics?
So the Celtics is a different type of pizza party for them because they should be a great team. I mean, they are a great team, but they're struggling right now. So I think it might even go back to them being the team that is in most need of it, and it might have the most benefit too.
Well, so that if you're gonna,
it would
argue
help them the most
that way.
We actually have thought of that.
Who would benefit the most, Danny Ainge? I think the Celtics would probably benefit the most. That doesn't mean they need it the most, but
fair.
It would be the most effective. Like, I still think the Bruins need it more.
Right.
Pastrnak and Marchand need to sit
okay.
down
and have a pizza.
Over pizza.
Share a slice.
More so than even the Celtics.
All right, but here's the argument for the Celtics. Joe Mazzulla right now is starting to talk crazy a little bit, and not fun crazy.
No, crazy.
There's
crazy.
A fine line between, like, oh, he sounds like a serial killer crazy
yep.
when the team's winning and he's just, like, saying weird numbers and, like, weird phrases and talking about doing his jujitsu. And then there's this being like, what did you guys think? We're going to be, like, a good team? Or, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
No, we thought you'd win 65 and back-to-back championships. Yes.
Jaylen Brown.
That's definitely what I thought.
Jaylen Brown blowing off the media multiple games in a row.
He did do interviews last
night.
He did.
No,
game.
I know. Yep. But for, yeah. well, that's because
after getting called out.
Correct.
Yes.
It started to become a story.
Uh-huh.
And so Jaylen Brown doesn't like his role, and then you're like, how different is the role? Like, you guys were all together last year. You're not bringing in any real new players to the rotation.
No, definitely not.
So it just seems like what's going on with them. I think where both Bruins and Celtics are right now, like in the standings and like over the last month, I think it's kind of surprising for both of them. It's probably more surprising for the Celtics.
Agreed.
I thought they'd be a 500
for a month. I didn't see
for
that
20
coming.
Games.
I didn't see the Bruins missing the playoffs, which they're threatening to do.
Yeah.
But I'm not shocked they're a middling team with some issues in the dressing room.
Like, was he really going to spin a custom pizza? And he said, yeah.
But where the Celtics are at, I would say that is shocking. So I would argue Bruins over Celtics.
Ooh, I kind of think Celtics over Bruins.
Billy, break the tie.
Let's go.
Let's break the tie so we can prioritize these.
Bruins,
thank you.
Bruins,
in your face, Keith. Well,
Bruins beat writers might need a pizza party more than everybody else. Bunch of babies.
It's true. Meanwhile, the elephant in the room, the potential dark horse here.
Oh, boy.
A WEEI pizza party. How badly do we need a pizza party, Keith, specifically to work out any disagreement between yourself and Courtney Cox?
Yeah, I would say we do need a pizza party. I would think
previous criminal record of criminal mischief and arson.
See now, that's not going to help anything.
That's not me doing that.
Not that a
by
pizza party can't fix, but that's not going to help anything.
That was from today's show. That's a fresh one.
Uh huh.
I think we are in need of a pizza party more so than the Red Sox and more so than the Patriots. I don't know if I would go as far as the other two. I don't think it's that bad. I think the overall camaraderie here at the station is high. Maybe the highest it's ever been since I've been here.
Really?
I think so.
Is that saying something?
Is it?
Well, yeah, the highest since you. How long have you been here?
It's the end of 2016.
So almost a decade. It's the highest it's ever been. Yes, yeah. That's saying something.
It's a low bar.
Okay, but it's saying something.
Yeah, I eat the pizza all by myself. Nobody else eats.
Yeah. Yeah, or you can have bad pizza like Jordan when he got poisoned in Utah.
Good point. That is a good point.
It was definitely food poisoning and it wasn't anything else.
No, totally wasn't out gambling, drinking.
Hate to hear it.
Cigar smoking.
His flu game. Yeah.
No, that's 100% what it was. Food poisoning.
So I think we're firmly third, though.
Sir, I have your pizza.
I don't think we're in bad shape as the Bruins or the Celtics.
And
are.
I think if you want to talk about
each passing day is getting better.
If you want to talk about the most effective pizza party, that might be WEEI, even more so than the Celtics.
Yeah,
like I think you get Keith and Courtney
right
sharing a pizza pie.
That'd be nice.
Next thing you know, I think all problems are so. It might be the most effective of the pizza parties.
But then there's already been a lot of jokes about, you know, after the pizza party.
Well, this is where it would
do
get.
We have to label the slices or do we have
who's
to
making those
mark
jokes?
Them?
Is this
free?
A joke you're making right now? Or is people wondering. It's being made.
Are people going to take them home? If it goes in the fridge, does that mean it just stays there until it gets mold
so
on
it's true.
It?
True. So the pizza party might solve a lot until
it might create more
the
problems.
Leftover situation and then it begats a new problem.
That's why, again, the best thing might be a remote show at a pizza parlor.
Yeah.
We do the show there. You don't have to worry about what makes it back to the kitchen, what makes it back to the fridge, what's fair game, what isn't. We leave that in the hands.
Right, because if it's here, God knows.
Might be ugly. And not to relitigate this, but the time that you guys had the pizzas, remember I was out that day, or I worked from home that day?
I do recall, yes.
And then Courtney, friend of the show, is a big proponent of what's here stays here.
Uh-huh.
I believe she took pies home.
Was that true? The Twitch chat points us out from time to time.
Is that true? Sounds correct. Okay.
I don't want to say definitively that's accurate, but yeah, I think she might have brought home a pizza from the Trading Post, yes.
After she said, leave food here?
Well, yeah, that was
okay.
That's her stance, yes.
I was just wondering.
Is EEI higher than third?
Yeah.
So I think the rankings we settled on, Keith, are Bruins 1.
Yep.
Celtics 2.
Yes.
EEI 3.
Yep.
Maybe higher?
Red Sox 4. Pats 5.
Patriots 5.
Yeah.
Those are the Boston pizza party rankings officially.
Now, they all need one.
Everybody
needs
anybody one. Can use a pizza party to solve anything.
But that's the order of, like, who needs it the most.
In terms of the biggest need of said pizza party.
That makes sense to me.
Well, you have to pay for your pizza, sir.
So your thoughts on the Boston pizza party rankings. Who needs one the most?
Yeah.
Who needs one the least? Where does WEEI slide into all of it? 617-779-7937. And we'll solicit any pizza establishments that want to have the breaking of the bread, the crust.
That's right.
As it were. Solving any issues here at WEEI,
no doubt. Then
maybe that would solve some of our leftover issues.
I think so.
As Keith pointed out as well. Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get into it. And national title game last night. Some of us lost a few hams plus on that game. How'd you feel about the college football playoff experience? Was it an improvement? Does it need to be tweaked? We'll get into it next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keith
on WEEI.
Heavy pressure, Howard delivers downfield, and Smith, he's got it! Jeremiah Smith hadn't had a touch in the second half until that, but potential game clincher in Ohio State. He's going to walk out of Atlanta national champions. Marcus Freeman's team showed the trademark toughness and grit resolve. The odds look impossible. The longest, toughest postseason climb in the history of the sport. And after all that, it's Ohio State together at the mountaintop. Champions of college football.
Shut up, Fowler. I was on the Notre Dame side. I miss Musburger in games like this because Fowler stinks in these big games. And Herbstreit is just, he does a pretty decent job of not being overly biased for Ohio State.
I know.
But then you just, know you're watching it and you're like, you know, he's ready to kick his dog if Ohio State loses in these games.
The new dog.
The new dog is exactly
right. Moved on pretty
right.
quick from the old dog.
That's true.
I'm just kidding.
There wasn't a long mourning period.
No,
there.
It was not.
But so, you know, you watch the whole thing, and I was annoyed with it because I was biased, and I had futures out on Notre Dame. I lost a bunch of different ways on Notre Dame last night. But it ended up being, you backed into an entertaining finish to the championship game. What'd you think of the format, and what'd you think of the games last night, Keith?
So I think the format compared to just two teams or even just four teams is good. It did not lead to a lot of great games. I think the format itself needs to be tweaked.
I think there were legitimately, just to stick on that point for a second, I think there were legitimately two great games. It was Notre Dame-Penn State, which was awesome.
Yeah, that one I watched all of.
And it was Arizona State and Texas, which went to double overtime.
Yeah, a couple of the games were close late. But
I think
like,
those were the only
yeah.
great games. There were other competitive yeah. games. Those were the only great ones.
The one thing I like is you do give all these teams a chance. I know there's a few people complaining about like Alabama or teams missing it, but you got 12 teams in it. The best team is going to win the title. I like that. So there's not as much pressure on the committee. There's not as much bitching and moaning about stuff like that. So I like that. They do need to tweak the four teams with a bye have to be conference champions because you're going to get some bad conference champions like you did this year. So that doesn't make sense to me. In fact, all the teams with a bye lost their first game.
Would you change it right away or would you give it a couple more years to get more data?
I'd change it right away because I think some of these it's not going to change over the next few years that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be significantly better than the Big 12 and the ACC, for example. And I guess like the reformed Pac-12, like that's the other thing is like there's all these different conferences, but it's going to be the Big Ten and the SEC that are still going to be dominant. And so those teams should probably have the bye or at least get them on different sides of the bracket. You know, like Georgia kind of screwed this up, but Georgia, when the bracket came out, had a much easier path than Oregon. And Oregon was the number one seed, and yet they didn't seem to be rewarded that way. But
maybe you could give, because it would be cool to have Boise State like host a game on their campus.
Yeah.
So maybe instead
we'll
of giving
a chance.
Them, but I'm saying maybe instead of giving them the bye, where now you're playing on a neutral field after a week off, maybe say, all right, if you're a conference champion, you're not guaranteed the bye, but you are guaranteed a home game.
Something like that.
It's like kind of how the wild card works in the NFL. Where now, because hosting it on campus for Boise State
is sick, yeah.
Or even Arizona State, like that would have been kind of cool. So maybe there's a way to change it where you're still giving them an advantage, but not screwing up the overall rankings because you're overreaching to give these guys a bye.
12 is also a weird number. I thought maybe you could have gone to 16, but if you wanted to reward teams with a bye, maybe then you go to 14, which sort of like that's how many NFL playoff teams there are. But either way, I'm good. I'm not going to complain about 12. I wish there was more good games, but you know, next year you could have the same format and you might run into some better games.
So this is
you
what I'm hoping
to be
for.
More good games. So they bumped it up like a month. Oregon was off for a month before they played Ohio State.
So I do hate that, but college football's
tough.
Been dealing with that for a while.
I think that's tough because you have all your conference championship games. Then you have Army Navy, which is always kind of all alone anyway. Then you have a few bowl games. The bowl system still makes money. So ideally, would it pick up right away? Yes. I just don't know. Given the corruption with the NCAA, how realistic that is, but that's not a bad suggestion.
But like that Vince Young Texas USC game from years ago,
oh, they were off 6 weeks.
They were off
like
forever,
that,
and it's like one of the greatest games anybody's ever
Fair
seen.
Point.
So like you can, it's not.
Yeah, but now they're playing an extra month on top of it.
Yeah, they do play a ton of games.
So look, there are tweaks to the format for sure. Overall, I like it. It needs better games. The games were largely underwhelming.
Yeah,
I'll say my big takeaway from last night, and not like he's getting the Bears job anyway. Ben Johnson got the Bears job, but the shine is off Marcus Freeman. That was a bad night.
Yeah.
I thought he took a terrible timeout before halftime, which left Ohio State with a ton of time. Settling for that stupid field goal, which they missed anyway, was a terrible decision. Not covering Jeremiah Smith on 3rd and 12 was a terrible decision. Like, what were they? They were, like, loaded up against
the
run.
Yeah, I would maybe cover him.
So, like, it was a bad night for Marcus Freeman. Ohio State, the one thing I'll say about the format, too, beyond just my takeaway from the game, you now have a champion, and maybe this is a good thing, you tell me, you now have a champion who a year ago wouldn't even have made the playoff field.
Mm-hmm.
So is that good that you're getting a two-loss champion with a schlubby quarterback like they had, who had a very good night? Will Howard had a very good night. I still think it's not a very impressive quarterback, but an impressive overall roster.
Yeah.
Do you want you want to start inviting champions like that, or did the four-team field give you a more representative champion?
So the four-team field would allow for the occasional non-conference champion to win the title.
Yep.
Right? Like, you know, sometimes a team would lose in the SEC title game, but then win the whole thing. And so this is sort of like a little bit similar version to that, because you're right, they didn't even win their conference, and yet they're the best team in the country.
They had two losses. They got smoked by Michigan.
Yeah. Right. You lose the Michigan game, which is funny because after that game, people were calling for Ryan Day to lose his job.
Correct.
And then four games later, they are the champs. So I guess I don't really mind that because it's still the best team. Like, they lost to me. If you're going to add more games, the idea of the undefeated team is going to kind of go out the window. There's going to be fewer and fewer of those.
Or it'll be real impressive if you do.
Oh, it'll be insane. Yeah. And we'll get one of those. We'll get one of those at one point.
Agreed.
But no, my takeaway, I've never liked Ohio State. Just as a kid, you sort of root for, you find teams that you like and teams that you don't like. I've never liked Ohio State. But I was happy to see Ryan Day, New Hampshire guy, Manchester Central, by way of UNH, capture the whole thing. You know, fun fact about me, played against his younger brother growing up in every sport. His younger brother is actually a sick athlete, too.
Howie Day.
Tim Day.
Oh, Tim Day.
Tim Day, nice. If he's listening. He was good at everything, too. But Ryan Day, and then with Chip Kelly, you know, who we met at UNH, and having him also on that staff. Good day for little New Hampshire on the big football world.
Big day for the Granite State. I'd be fine with Chip Kelly, by the way,
yeah,
on Mike Vrabel's staff here. So you can jump in on the college football playoff. Did you like it? Any tweaks? Did you invest? I mean, there's no team locally that you're going to invest in. Did it get you to watch? 617-779-7937. I see a bunch of you hanging out on our Boston Pizza Party rankings. We've tweeted out the graphic. Good job by Terp on Twitter and Instagram. We have Bruins most in need of a pizza party. WEEI right in the middle. Pizza party can solve just about anything. So we decided to rank those earlier today in the show. It is a Tommy Tuesday, which means we'll check in with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, at high noon next.